You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona homeowners. It's 8 o'clock. The rooster crows, the gate slam. That can only mean one thing. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House. And here we are, the fourth Saturday of the month, which means we've got Farmer Greg in studio. And if you are sitting there with your home maintenance calendar and you are ready to learn about composting,
Oops.
It wasn't rain. It wasn't a misprint. And
the
urbanfarm.org has a plethora of composting, and we will cover it again on this program, but it rained. So yeah. We're going to recap rain harvesting, because as long as this drought, this is where rain harvesting really
pays off.
Well, and hit me to where I'm like 7 inches on average per year,
right,
in Arizona. Since last August, we've had 1 inch.
Since last August,
in Arizona, on average, only 1 inch. So we're way below average. How much could we have recouped from that if we were all rain harvesting to bring that average up? Because we'll go into numbers here shortly about how much water per square foot flows off of a roof and how much more of the recovery process of redistributing that 7 inches we could have been if we'd have been prepared for it.
Yeah. And that's really the big piece.
That was the missed opportunity for me. I'm looking out there at my pecan, and I got to turn on water. Even though we got rain last week, where if I'd have had my barn shed off covering it, I'd probably have been fine another 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. So, and rainwater harvesting is only a part of, you know, what we're going to talk about today. And rainwater harvesting is a big deal here. And I often have people say to me, hey, Greg, you know, what's the big deal? Why should we be harvesting rainwater? You know, we get 7 inches a year. We need to harvest and direct the water that we do get. So rainwater harvesting is the rainwater that falls on your property. Gray water harvesting is another kind of water harvesting, and it is legal in the state of Arizona to harvest gray water. Now, gray water is any water that goes down any sink or drain in your house, except your kitchen sink and your toilet. So it is legal in the state of Arizona to redirect that water out into your landscape. So that's gray water harvesting. Then there's stormwater harvesting. Stormwater is really the water that runs by your house and figuring out how to utilize it.
Gray water harvesting, I would imagine, do you have statistics on how, I mean, that would be so hard. How many people live in the home, how active, blah, 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 blah. But I would imagine you get a lot more in gray water harvesting because we use our sinks every day. We use our faucets every day. 7 inches of rain on, let's say, 14 different rain days on average, that's
not a huge amount of water.
You know, when you compare that to 365 days that we use our, at least brush our teeth twice, I hope.
Right. There you go. There you go. Well, and here's the deal. The difference between the two is, you're right, we get gray water every day, but gray water systems are a lot more expensive to put in because we have to figure out how to replumb our houses. Actually, there's two pieces to it. We either have to figure out how to replumb our houses so we get the water that's inside to run out, or we have to move those services outside. So I have an outdoor sink at the urban farm that we use for rinsing vegetables and chicken, you know, dealing with the chickens and washing our hands and that kind of stuff. So that water goes out into the landscape in our backyard, but I also have an outdoor shower. So I chose to move some of my services outside. I also have it set up at the urban farm to eventually move my washer outside. So we're actually washing outside. So the wash water goes out into the landscape as well. So it's a little bit more complicated to do gray water harvesting than it is rainwater harvesting.
But your gallons generated annually is going to be
significantly more.
So exactly. And the key point, that's not the kitchen sink and that's
correct,
not the toilet. Those
correct
still are plumbed into city sewer, septic, wherever the drains are going. You don't touch those.
Right.
But washing machine.
Yep.
Bathroom sinks.
Yeah.
Showers.
Showers, yep.
You could even, now that I'm thinking about this, condensate lines from air conditioning.
See, well,
that could be water harvesting. They're very active right now.
Exactly. That's my fourth place that we get water from.
Okay.
So we got rainwater harvesting, gray water harvesting, storm water harvesting, if you want to delve into that. And then there's the other places. Condensate water and evaporative cooler water. You know, we still run a master cool. Well, I guess it's not master cool anymore, but we still run an evaporative cooler at the urban farm. And, you know, that kicks off a fair amount of water.
We just got Phoenix Manufacturing, their Patio Pal, mm-hmm. that's a roll-around evap cooler with 144-quart ice chest on top.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's outside.
Nice.
And the biggest motivation in that for me is the payoff of not having four kids who are all thirsty at separate times go in and out of the house that have a hard time remembering to close the door.
Yeah.
Or we've got, you know, everyone that goes inside, you got to take your shoes off. So, of course, they got to leave the door open while they're taking their shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
To have the air conditioned air inside the home stay inside the home.
And the evap on the patio.
And the evap on the patio, and you've got your drinks outside, so you don't need to go inside.
Yeah. So we, you know, there's
that water,
evaporative
there.
Cooler water and the condensation water. And you're right, the condensation water right now is crazy with all this humidity. And what can you do with that? And that's unlike the evap cooler water, which is highly dense with salt. The condensation water is basically distilled water. You know, so it's very clean.
Very clean.
So, you know,
dad's dogs drink out of it.
Yep. Yeah. What can you do with that? That's really, you know. And then we have flood water at the urban farm, you know, so we have the old flood
irrigation.
So that's part of how we water there. So I really encourage people when they're looking at their landscape to figure out all the different places that water comes from. And a really cool concept in permaculture, I like to call permaculture the art and science of working with nature. It's something I've studied for almost 30 years now. A really cool concept in permaculture is called stacking functions, where you actually have one asset, like water, and you use it multiple times. So what I do with my evap cooler water and condensation water, it goes into a fish pond, and I actually used to raise fish for food. And then so that water gets used to cool my house, and then it goes into the fish pond to raise fish, and then that fish poop polluted water, which is a nice nutrient for the garden, goes into the garden. So what I've just done there is I've taken an asset called water, I've stacked it three times. So, you know, always looking in your landscape for where you can do things like that is a really important key to desert sustainability as well.
That's impressive. Three applications for water. I was trying to think, how do you reuse water?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, with my outdoor shower, it's getting used twice.
Clean and irrigation.
Right. You have to be careful, be cognizant, and we'll talk about this in a little while, what you're putting down the drain. But
yeah, I would imagine if you do the gray water, you're going to a lot of mineral for your cleaning products, not a lot of synthetic or...
Right, a lot of natural-based things, right? But also for the desert, we want things that are low in sodium because we already have super salty water because of where we're at. The product that I like to use for my dish soap, for the laundry, and for the shower is called Oasis Biocompatible Soap. You can buy it online. We usually, around fruit tree time in January, we usually bring a truckload of it in for people. But it's biocompatible, which means it breaks down into basically nutrients for the plants, which is really cool. It's got a real nice smell to it. And
have you ever made your own soap?
I haven't. I've seen it done, and conceptually I could do it if I had to, but I haven't.
It's actually a lot of fun. Amanda and I did it a couple times when at the Whitman Plantation we were milking goats. That was just one of those things,
right?
That it takes so long to get into production because it has to be a mothered goat, and then they last for about a year. And so to keep the mom and the dad, and then if you miss a 3-day period of time, they start to dry up. It was just,
oh my gosh.
We had two kids, we could manage it.
Yeah.
And two horses, but we're like at 8 horses and 4 kids, and something had to give.
Right.
So the milk goats went away, but we were taking the goat milk, mm-hmm. mixing it with coconut oil.
Yep.
And I can't remember all the other components, but we made a batch in one afternoon. Greg, we had soap for almost 2 years.
Isn't that amazing?
That lasted forever.
Yeah, that's the abundance of the universe. That's just I love, and you know, and that's what we can get out of our garden. That's why we need to, for that abundance reason, that's why we need to pay attention to where the water's coming in and really utilizing as best as we can.
And I kind of derailed on the soap conversation. So it's you like Oasis, and is that for dish and body soap, or is that just...
Yeah, it's Oasis biocompatible dish soap, which I use in the shower as well. It's got a nice citrusy smell to it, and then they've got a laundry soap.
Okay.
So a water harvesting system. There's a great book out there called Create an Oasis with Gray Water by Art Ludwig. If you're really interested, that's the book to get. That is capital T, the book to get. And in the book, he talks about creating systems and what it takes to create systems and how to do it. And he says there's five components of a water harvesting system.
Okay.
And those five components are: where's the water coming from? It's collection, distribution, and plumbing.
That's three.
That's one.
That's one. There's collection, three in that
distribution, one. Distribution and plumbing, right? The third one is the tank, the filter, and the pump, which we're going to talk about in a minute. The landscape, and then basically the people in the landscape, the people in the design. So this is his framework for it. I am a big proponent of not using tanks. Tanks are very expensive. You definitely don't want to put gray water in tanks. Why not?
Well, if you're using soaps and stuff,
it becomes black water very quickly. So I'm a big proponent of designing your landscape first, planting the water in the landscape, and then planting your landscape. So that if you come into the urban farm on one of our tours, we've got a tour coming up in October, my gray water system out in the backyard is designed to water the plants around the area.
And we'll pick up right there in just a moment.